I'm William Cooper, and you're listening to The Hour of the Time. And you should be listening to us with much better sound quality tonight because the Comrex decoder at both ends is finally working. It took all this time. And I was listening to the intro in shortwave. It sounds a lot better than it did last night and the week before and the week before that. So drop me a line and let me know what you think about the better quality of the sound. Now, last night I told you that I would play the beginning of last night's broadcast over again. I'm not going to do that because time is precious. And if you really want to know what was missing in that 5 minutes, then you can send for the tape. Basically, it was just me telling you a lot about what I think about the current state of affairs in, quote, law enforcement, end quote. And I put it in quotes because it's not law enforcement anymore, it's people persecution. The people who are supposed to be enforcing the law, ladies and gentlemen, 9 times out of 10, don't even know what the hell the law is. They went to some briefing when they got hired. They went to some little boot camp where they ran around in circles and went to classes and somebody told them what they're supposed to do. And so they go out and pretend like they're enforcing the law when really they're enforcing what their supervisor told them to enforce, and they don't know diddly squat about the law. And if that makes you mad, tough. I'd say I put it a little stronger, but I understand that there's some nice ladies out there listening tonight. So I'm not going to do that. But for all you big macho he-men in law enforcement, I got to tell you something. We're sick and tired of you turning your head when you know that your fellow officers are doing wrong, when you know that they're breaking the law, when you know that they are, in fact, tearing up the Constitution and throwing it in the trash can. And many of you are helping them do it. And if you're not helping them do it, you are an accomplice simply because you don't speak up or say anything about it. And I don't care if it costs you your job. If your job is worth so much that you have to cost the rest of us our liberties and our freedoms and our protections under the Constitution, then to hell with your job.
Dragnet, their job, to enforce the law and preserve the safety of decent citizens. Decent citizens.
The story is true. The story.
Nice guys, huh? You really think so? Well, folks, you haven't got the slightest idea what's going on across this country. You ever heard about paintball? It's where these guys get together and they have these special little pistols that they shoot little blobs of paint. And they go out in the woods and they have contests. And it's a national sport. I mean, they have championship bouts and everything. Well, some of them were traveling all over the United States, promoting their sport of paintball and attending tournaments and all that kind of thing. You're not going to believe what happened to them, and you're not going to believe the cover-up that's going on. And when you hear about it, I want you to write your congressmen, I want you to write your senators, I want you to demand that the enemies of all of us, these Gestapo, Nazi, jackbooted scum thugs, are identified by name and organization. That's exactly what they are. Wait till you hear this. These guys were taking a trip on a bus. They left California to go to Las Vegas. In the middle of the desert, they were surrounded by, quote, law enforcement, end quote, who, instead of waiting for the bus to stop or meeting the bus at its destination, endangered the lives of everybody on the bus by throwing out a chain that had spikes all over it and blowing out the tires of the bus on the highway without any warning, without signaling the bus to stop, nothing at all. And here is the testimony of one of the people who were on the bus. And I quote, "Here's a sample of what your jackbooted buddies are doing, Joe. Defend them all you want. Being one of the so-called idiots who was on the bus, which was stopped for hijacking and transporting automatic firearms, I will now set the record straight. First off, my team from ABC Paintball Supply, the guys from Carter Machine, and a few guys from Combat Simulations in Hawaii set out on a two-week tour of Canada, in which we were to hit stock class tournaments in Saskatoon and Edmonton. We left Los Angeles on Wednesday afternoon en route to Las Vegas for a night of gambling. 1.5 hours later, three tires on our bus were blown out by SWAT team members using a chain with spikes which was tossed across the highway. Our bus subsequently pulled over to the shoulder and was immediately surrounded by SWAT team members with automatic MP5s and snipers perched atop the surrounding hills with .308 rifles. We were taken off the bus, handcuffed, and forced to sit on the hot pavement. Temperatures at the time were 115 degrees, while agents and dogs searched the bus for over 6 hours. Until the very end, no one would tell us why we were stopped. Later we learned they had received a tip that we were illegally transporting 600 automatic weapons. The papers reported that the police had seen us waving guns around inside the bus and that they thought we were hijackers. Bullshit. The police found nothing. Zip, nothing. No guns were inside the bus. All the guns were paintball guns, and they were taken on the trip. They were stored properly in the bus storage compartment underneath the bus, which could not be accessed by any of the passengers, and we had no access to such compartment at all. Once they saw that nothing was to be found, the police hid their badges. They hid their badges. They hid their badges. These big, macho, brave Gestapo, Nazi, jackbooted thugs wearing their ski masks and their Kevlar vests and their black uniforms hid their badges and refused to give anyone any information. The interior of the bus was badly damaged by these idiots who disassembled it. All occupants of the bus were badly sunburned and had burns from the hot pavement on their buttocks and knees. Paint guns and personal belongings of all occupants were damaged, but no officer remained behind to file reports with. One federal agent gave us her business card, but when Jessica Sparks tried to contact her, the address was wrong. The phone number was disconnected, but the name was right. However, no calls would be returned. We were given nothing to drink for the duration of the event. Our lives were endangered when the tires of the bus, which was traveling about 65 miles per hour, were blown out. And from what I've seen of buses traveling along that highway, I'd say 65 is a conservative estimate. It's probably more like 75 or 80. In fact, one SWAT team member stated that they made a big mistake by blowing the tires. The chain with spikes was to be set up 7 miles down the road in case the bus did not pull over. I could go on and on about this incident, but this is the condensed version. If you think this could never happen to you, you are dead wrong. I had a red dot on my chest, and had the player decided to fire, no paint check would have been necessary. Needless to say, lawsuits are being filed as we speak. This is from JJ at ABC Paintball Supply in New Jersey. And he asks, when is America going to wake up? When are you going to wake up? Any ideas about that, folks? Huh? Hid their badges. Oh, we don't need no stinking badges. Where have we heard that before? Banditos! That's what they are.
Dragnet. Their job, to enforce the law and preserve the safety of decent citizens. Decent citizens.
Oh, I bet you think that's out of line. I bet you think that's unusual. That's just one incident that happened over a 10-year period, and this stuff doesn't happen all the time, right? Huh? Yeah, especially you scumbag, jackbooted Nazi Gestapo thugs that are sitting there in front of your wife listening to this. How are you going to explain this crap to her, huh? I want to know how you're going to do it. Because it goes on in your town, on your force, and you don't say a damn thing about it. And a lot of times, you're right in the middle of it. Why? Because you're afraid you might lose your job. July 1st, 1994, Boone, North Carolina. The curator of the North Carolina Military Museum was the target of a BATF raid Tuesday, June 28th. With search warrants in hand, ATF seized about 20 fully automatic weapons, all legally registered to the curator, inert artillery shells on display, and about 100,000 rounds of small arms ammunition, according to the curator. Agents claimed the shells contained powdered residue, yet were clearly labeled EOD inert, which means they had been disabled by experts in the military. EOD means explosive ordnance disposal. Agents also claimed that the ammunition could have been stolen from the military. Curator Greg Prost told NRA Public Affairs that he holds a Class 3 and a destructive device manufacturing license, so even if they weren't inert, it was perfectly legal for him to have these things. It's a museum. They're on public display. They were all properly registered, properly disabled, all within the law. Proust noted that the ATF's computer printout of the Class 3 firearms he had registered was inaccurate and said the agents did not know how to identify some of the firearms in question, and this isn't unusual either. The small arms ammo was stored in a storage building adjacent to the museum. Once the agents noted the extent of the ammo, they called the press. They called the press. Oh, oh, we really blew it in Waco, but we're going to get some good press here, man. We caught this guy with all this stuff, and man, oh, this is going to make us look good. You stupid jerks. I just can't believe the mentality of these people. Where do they find them? Is somebody patrolling the back alleys looking for kids playing in trash cans or something? They call the press. Parroting comments made by the agents, local reporters said an explosion of the ammo cache could have caused a crater a half mile wide. Later, news reports expanded the crater potential to a mile wide. Is this some kind of joke or something? 4,000 pounds of fertilizer and diesel fuel couldn't even make a crater larger in diameter than 20 feet in Oklahoma City. The agents came across an RPG launcher. For those of you who never fought against the communists, that's a rocket-propelled grenade. Inert, that means disabled, incapable of being used, according to the law, with operating devices welded, and allowed a member of the news crew to shoulder it while videotaping, quote, "This is the kind of communist bloc weaponry that prompted the raid," an agent told the press. Now bear in mind, this is a military museum. They got them all across the country. Is your museum next? How about the George S. Patton Museum down there on I don't know if it's Highway 10 or Highway 40. But I do know, I think it's Highway 10, isn't it? I do know it's a very nice museum, and I actually met General Doolittle there when they had their grand opening. General Jimmy Doolittle was there, the man that led the raid of the bombing of Tokyo off of carriers with B-25 bombers. Are they going to raid that next? I mean, they got tanks. They got real tanks there. And lots of them. The seizure was the result of an ongoing investigation for 3 years. Can you imagine these boobs? Talk about Inspector Clouseau. Where's Peter Sellers when we need him? This is a museum. They had to investigate for 3 years. My God, they could have walked in there with a notebook, toured the place for an hour, and listed everything and categorized it and everything. They could have taken pictures. But no, no, these great criminal investigators took 3 years. Oh boy!
My name's Friday. I carry a badge. My name's Friday. My name's Friday. I carry a badge. My name's Friday. I carry a badge.
Hey, Chihuahua!
Now just lay down there on the couch Friday and tell me about your childhood. Oh, have you heard the latest, folks? The murderer. The FBI sniper, the murderer, Lon Horiuchi, who didn't even think twice about Vicky Weaver's rights, or Randy Weaver's rights, when he shot Randy Weaver in the shoulder and shot Vicky Weaver in the head while she was holding her small baby daughter in her arms and killed her. murdered her. He didn't think about her rights or Randy Weber's rights, but this scum-faced, puke-mouthed Nazi Gestapo jackbooted murdering thug won't be testifying at the Senate hearings into the 11-day standoff at Ruby Ridge because he might be facing potential criminal charges and he doesn't want to testify against himself. FBI sniper. Now, who in their right mind, who but a deranged individual would even want to be a sniper? These are things you don't do unless you're forced to, ladies and gentlemen. Unless you absolutely have to kill somebody, you don't set out to do it. This is a guy who wanted to do it, trained to do it. It was his job, and he couldn't wait to pull that trigger. Fellow snipers said that they refused the order to shoot on sight because it was wrong, but not old Lon Horiuchi. And now he don't want anybody to infringe upon his rights. Well, I don't think Mr. Lon Horiuchi ought to have any rights, period. I think he's a murderer. That's what I think. That's what a lot of other people think, too, folks.
Dragnet, their job, to enforce the law and preserve the safety of decent citizens. Decent citizens.
Yeah, these people are nice guys, protecting us, upholding the law. Is that what you really believe? Well, if it is, you've been conned. Very few of them are. There are a few good police officers out there, but only a very few, ladies and gentlemen. You see, the few speak up. The few press charges against those that they see breaking the law and destroying the Constitution. And they object and they write letters about what their supervisors are ordering them to do. And you know what happens to them? They get fired. That's why there's not very many. And they're going to continue to get fired until we do something about it. And tonight, I'm doing something about it. St. John's, Arizona. Little small town in East Central Arizona. Nice guys on that police force. Nice guys in the sheriff's department. I happen to know that Sheriff Lee is a nice guy. I think in my heart that Bruce Overton is a nice chief of police. But you had one ex-police officer, Tim Lesperance, and another police officer, Officer Graham, who actually used his own daughter to frame one of my associates. That's child abuse. They broke the law. They're scum. And I'm never going to forget it. And there is going to be an investigation. This is the Officer Graham who, when I was introduced to him, told me that he was a real patriot and really, really appreciated the job that we were doing. Nice guys, huh? Could have put Bart away for 40 years as a young man. That would have been most of his life. And I'm supposed to forget about it? Not on your life. Not ever will I forget about it. And I'm not going to let anybody else forget about it either. want to know the real reason Veritas only comes out once a month now? Because of what they did. We lost Bart. We can't do the work that we could do when Bart was here. It almost destroyed the paper because Mike almost left too. I sat down and had a heart-to-heart talk with Mike, and he agreed to stay. But it's not just here. It's everywhere. On April 28th, Scott Bryant, a 29-year-old Beaver Dam, Wisconsin resident, was living peacefully in his home when Dodge County Sheriff deputies suddenly smashed their way through the door and shot Scott to death on the spot. Scott was unarmed. There was no gun in the entire house, and no guns were found. They did, however, find what they were looking for, 3 grams of cannabis flowers and leaves. Oh, that'll teach those ruthless flower-smoking hippies. We'll kill them for endangering their own health. Now we can't have these people endangering their own health and taking drugs. We'll kill them. Scott's neighbor, Ken Pearson, told reporters they, the officers, rushed in the door. They didn't holler. They didn't identify themselves or anything. As soon as they kicked the door in, we heard the shot. Scott's 7-year-old son watched his father die as they waited 35 minutes for the ambulance. Now, there is a real example, folks, that drugs cause violence, but only in those only in those police officers. Now, don't get me wrong. I don't smoke cannabis. Don't have anything to do with it. But you don't shoot people for smoking pot. You don't kill people because you don't like them. You don't bust down doors without warrants and just shoot somebody sitting in the chair right in front of their 7-year-old kid when they have no weapons whatsoever in their hand or in their house or on their person or on their property. Only Gestapo, Nazi, jack-booted, scum-faced, puke thugs do that.
Dragnet, their job, to enforce the law and preserve the safety of decent citizens. Decent citizens.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Hour of the Time is brought to you by Swiss America Trading. Now, these are good folks. They don't care what you smoke. They're not going to shoot you. All they care about is, do you need some real money? Do you need precious metals? Would you like to have some non-confiscatable, non-reportable hard assets to get you through the hard times that are coming? And if what I'm telling you tonight isn't enough to chill you into getting ready, folks, this is going to continue tomorrow night. And wait till you hear what's happening to the Indians on Thursday night. There's a pattern going on. We're headed into a steep decline. In fact, this nation's going to disappear right into total anarchy and chaos. And blood's going to run in the streets, and it's not going to have anything to do with the militias until they recover from the first onslaught and begin to defend the rest of us. And that's what's going to happen. So you better be nice to your local militia people.
You're going to need their help to defend you against these people. And you're going to need some real money, because when all of this comes down around our heads, and it will, ladies and gentlemen, the military is preparing to round up patriot leaders. It's no secret. It's all over Washington, D.C. It's all over the Internet. It's been on the radio. I wrote about it in my book 5 years ago because I knew that it was coming. And when they do that, The militia is not going to let them take their leaders. That's where the line in the sand is going to be drawn. And nobody's going to accept that funny money that you got in your pocket when all of this happens. So I suggest you call our sponsors and call them, because you should have some loyalty in your bones, not like that guy last night who wasn't interested in paying $10 for a tape of the broadcast that would have told him everything that he wanted to know, because he had every excuse in the world why he shouldn't spend an extra $10. He just wanted that satellite deal because he wanted a satellite system, and it's the best deal he ever heard of. Well, I remember his name. When I get his order, I'm going to send it back to him, because I don't give a damn about his money. I care about people who are ready and willing to stand up and draw the line and do what's right. Those are the people I care about. And I care about the people who are going to take care of their family and their neighbors and their community when all of this happens. I care about people who join militias and are willing to stand up and say, I am who I am what I am, and I ain't going to have nothing to do with what you folks over there got planned for this country. Look around at your loved ones. I'm going to tell you a lot more before this hour is over, and I'm going to tell you another hour tomorrow night that's going to make the hair stand up on the back of your neck. And when you finally understand, when it finally gets through your thick head, you call our sponsors. Because they're the ones who brought you this information and a lot more over the past 4 years that you can never repay them for, so at least have the courtesy to give them your business. And while you're at it, thank them for sponsoring the Hour of the Time. Because I don't think there's anybody else in this country that's got the guts to sponsor the Hour of the Time. So call Swiss America Trading at 1-800-289-2646. That's 1-800-289-2646, and get your hands on some real money. Some real money, folks. If you've never had real money, if you never felt it in your hand, you've got a real thrill coming.
Dragnet, their job to enforce the law and preserve the safety of decent citizens. Decent citizens. Decent citizens.
Guess what, folks? The ATF is registering your guns for you. Special Agent Pat Hines let the cat out of the bag on ABC's Day One about a week ago. Take that back, about 2 weeks ago. That the Bureau has computerized 60 million out-of-business gun dealer records. And that's a no-no. It's against the law. You see, these people who claim they're enforcing the law, they don't care about the law. They care about world government. They care about the disarmament treaties. They care about the United Nations. They really work for the International Monetary Fund. And if you got your copy of Veritas, you know a lot more about them than most of them know about themselves by now. You see, the BATF has long sought such authority, and there have been persistent rumors that they were doing this computerization despite Section 926 of the Gun Control Act. McClure-Volkmer amendments. It prohibits any system of registration of firearms owners or transactions. Also, the Treasury Appropriations Law has for several years prohibited such computerization of records, but they're doing it anyway. The BATF attempted to get that provision removed from this year's appropriation bill, knowing full well that they'd already done it.
Hines was taking ABC host Forrest Sawyer through the old records warehouse and said, right now there's 20 million records here. We've already computerized 60 million. He said that on television. If the ATF is found to have been improper in its actions and no one is disciplined, you and I are the losers. We already are. See, there's been previous instances in which the ATF has ravaged residences, leaving innocent victims, in reality, with little hope for recourse of damages incurred from one of their bust-the-door-down, no-warrant raids. For example, in December 1991, at least 30 ATF agents, plus about 30 additional law enforcement officers, local people who lived there, raided Johnny Lawmaster's home in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Lawmaster, a law-abiding citizen, wasn't at home, and neither was anyone else at the time of the raid. The ATF, looking for an illegal firearm, busted down the door, ripped the place apart, including the walls, the furniture, everything. But they didn't find any illegal firearm. They left the residence in a literal mess with a simple note in the ruins. Nothing found. Signed, ATF. Lawmaster's attorney attempted to obtain a copy of the affidavit supporting the search warrant to determine whether there was probable cause for the issuance of the warrant. Guess what? The U.S. attorney asked that the affidavit be sealed. In another instance, and only 23 days before the Branch Davidian raid in Waco this year, ATF agents raided the Portland, Oregon home of Janice Hart, a beautician and a single mother of two little girls. Yeah, let's see what keeps your hair up, Friday. I want to know what keeps your pants up, Friday. What keeps your pants up?
Just the facts, man.
Arriving at home February 5th, Miss Hart found ATF agents tearing her residence literally apart. She says they also interrogated her for an hour before reading her rights, and she says she was not allowed to call an attorney. Not allowed to call an attorney. Her nightmare turned out to be a case of mistaken identity. After the ordeal, and knowing what she had been through, a Portland police officer quietly advised her to hire an attorney. Consider, folks. Consider all of this. Oh, if you can, you know. How can you consider insanity? What do you do with these people? Los Angeles. Two brothers report that police burst into their apartment and beat them in a search for a suspect after two officers were shot. A blitz described by former Detective Mark Furman in taped interviews with an aspiring screenwriter. The cops came with the billy clubs, and instead of knocking on the door, they tried to pound it open, Benny Morales said, recalling that afternoon in 1978. When they came in, they started swinging clubs. One burst into the room where Albert Morales was asleep with his girlfriend, grabbed her by the hair, and used her as a shield. The cop used her as a shield, holding her by the hair. A tactic police detective Furman described to Laura McKinney, who was working on a screenplay about the LAPD. They started taking turns, hitting me with flashlights and clubs from all directions, said Albert Morales, 37, a drug rehabilitation and gang diversion counselor. I could feel the heat of the blood dripping down my face and the back of my neck. Benny Morales, 35, said officers took him and two companions to a police station basement and beat them.
When he got home, he found the apartment trashed, bloody handprints on the walls. Furman told McKinney about an apartment that had blood everywhere, all the walls, all the furniture, all the floors. It was just everywhere. A third brother, Michael, 38, says Furman and other officers punched and kicked him when they questioned him about the shooting several days later. The brothers say they have never been interviewed by police investigators despite an 18-month probe of the incident. They were never arrested, never charged, and had nothing to do with the shooting of any police officers. Oh.
Well, thank God it's Tuesday.
Hundreds, ladies and gentlemen, hundreds of innocent Ohio drivers are stopped each year and their cars searched because they are intimidated by police uniforms and believe they have no choice but to allow the searches. Even a citizen knowledgeable of his rights cannot always escape a search. If a driver refuses permission, officers often manufacture a reason to detain him further, then bring in a drug-sniffing dog in hopes of getting probable cause to search a car. Annie and I were stopped on the highway traveling through the state of Missouri. They brought out a dog. The police officer made a signal with his hand and the dog barked. He then said that the dog had detected drugs in our white Bronco. Drugs in our Bronco. Be a cold day in hell when anybody finds drugs in our Bronco. And if they are there, then somebody put them there. It wasn't us. And it didn't matter what I said or what I did. Once that dog barked after that guy made his hand signal that he had trained the dog to bark to, we were going to go to jail. Well, they searched our car. And if I'd lived in the state of Missouri, I would have sued every man jack one of them. I'd have dug into their past. I'd have investigated every single one of them from the day they were born. But I don't live in the state of Missouri. And it would cost me a fortune to do it. They put us through living hell on the side of the highway for nothing. For nothing. Now, they have the same problem in Tennessee, and their court system won't do anything about it. Most Friday afternoons in the state of Tennessee, and at other random times, you will find a narcotics checkpoint at the 340 exit on I-40. Many people are stopped and involuntarily searched with no probable cause. No reason, against the law, against the Fourth Amendment. If you refuse to allow a voluntary search, they bring in a dog, and just like they did to us in Missouri, they claim that the dog detected marijuana in the car. Now, how do you disprove such a claim? They order you out of your car and spend an hour going through it. Your briefcase, your backpack, take out your seats, disassemble the door panels. They find nothing. One person was quizzed about why he had gun cleaning patches, two-way radios, and other so-called subversive items in his car. Subversive items. What do you think about that?
got you frozen in my headlights.
It's funky, isn't it? It sucks. Sucks, sucks, sucks. And so do these people who do it. They call themselves Americans. They go home and tell their wife what a good job they did on the force today.
Oh, honey, I had a hard day. Yeah, nothing but crooks and criminals out there. The whole world is against me and my buddies.
Roane County News, September the 8th, 1995, page 1, Sobriety Checkpoint, NABS 11 during holiday, by Debbie Gibson. More than a dozen people were arrested and charged with varying offenses during sobriety checkpoints held Friday and Saturday by Roane County Sheriff's Office, and about a half pound of marijuana was confiscated. Wonder how much it cost them for that half pound of marijuana. Friday night, 28 cars were checked in West Roane County, resulting in 4 arrests, including the confiscation of about a quarter pound of marijuana. Business was so brisk at the checkpoint Saturday night that at 1.5 vehicles were under investigation at one time. Narcotics Officer Dennis Worley said because of a shortage of Roane County officers, 2 off-duty Morgan County officers volunteered to help. This will tell you the mental mindset of these intellectual midgets. It's not enough these guys got to do it when they're supposed to be on duty. No, they got to volunteer to infringe upon people's constitutional protected rights. They volunteered. Morgan County Sheriff's Deputy David Eitz and Warburg Officer Dwayne Bales provided help while brushing up on checkpoint techniques. Well, a little training here. Yeah, brush up on the techniques of the checkpoint infringing upon people's protections under the 4th Article and Amendment. Let's just learn how to do this right, folks. In a 4-hour operation Saturday, a total of 61 vehicles passed through the checkpoint and 11 arrests were made. So they searched 79 cars and found evidence to arrest 15 people. I'm sure glad that I live in the land of the free. How about the rest of y'all?
Their job, to enforce the law and preserve the safety of decent citizens. Decent citizens.
Thank God it's Tuesday.
That's your boots. Just recently, ladies and gentlemen, there was a raid on the home of the Gadsden militia leader, Mike Kemp. Why they ever let these scum take their leader, I'll never know. Listen to me, militias. Don't ever let them take your leaders. If you are left leaderless, you will be confused, disorganized, and chaotic. Do you understand what I'm saying? Do not ever let them take your leader. They took the Gadsden militia leader, Mike Kemp. The raid and the meticulous inch-by-tortured-inch search of his house produced a couple of pots of planting soil, a few marijuana weeds, a flash suppressor, which they called a silencer. They called a flash suppressor a silencer. The composition of the raiding party was at once an affront to those who understand the reason behind this attack. You see these Gestapo Nazi jackbooted thug police pushed to the fore their minions from the local and state law puppet groups to perform their treasure hunt. You know what they were after? They want the original film of the Good Old Boy Roundup. They want the original videotape, the original film of the Good Old Boy Roundup. That's what it's really all about. It's about paychecks and retirement pay. It's about reputations. It's about the BATF and all of these law enforcement agencies, including the Royal Canadian Mounted Police, who attended this racist event and who call Patriot militia members racists and white supremacists. It's about them keeping their jobs if that tape isn't confiscated. That's what the raid was about, folks, and they did not get the tape. They are not going to ever get the tape. Do you hear me, you Gestapo Nazi puke-faced jackbooted thugs? Byron, California, this will really get you. Byron, California, authorities seized a six-year-old cancer patient after his mother refused to bring him to the hospital for chemotherapy. Have you ever seen what chemotherapy does to people, especially little children? Do you know that there are alternative health treatments that can cure cancer? Were you aware of that? Elena Duarte, 27, wanted to continue herbal treatments, alternative health care for son Adrian Chavez, and had threatened to run away with the child, the boy's grandfather said. She just got scared, Luis Duarte said. Adrian has leukemia, which came back about 6 months ago after remission, the grandfather said. Doctors at Children's Hospital in Oakland resumed chemotherapy. But when the child's white blood cell count continued to increase, his mother took him to an herbal healer. The grandfather objected. A doctor called the mother on Thursday and told her to bring the child in the next day for his scheduled chemotherapy. She refused, and a Contra Costa County Sheriff's deputy and Children's Protective Services worker went to her home Thursday night and took the boy. A Contra Costa County Sheriff's deputy. I wonder what he would do if someone came and took his child because he decided what medical treatment the child would be better off having. The chemotherapy wasn't working. The white blood cell count kept escalating. The child was going to die. She went to her home Thursday night and took the boy. She was like crazy, the grandfather said. She even kneeled to the police and said, please don't take him. The child remains at Children's Hospital after receiving chemotherapy Friday, the hospital said. His mother could not be reached for comment. A court hearing must be held Tuesday to determine whether continued county custody of the child is warranted. Take my child. A lot of people will die in the process. This isn't a boast. I'm telling you the fact. Anyone ever comes to take my child or my children, a lot of people, and maybe even me, will die in the process. What is the matter with America? Who in the hell do these people think they are? Chemotherapy is torture. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. There are a lot of other ways to cure cancer. Some of them work, sometimes, some of them don't. Some of them, and I can't tell you which ones, work very well. more than anything that the established medical profession can offer, and some of them are herbal cures. And I'll have Michael Cottingham back on here as a guest to prove that statement. And tomorrow night we're going to continue with this because I have stacks and stacks and stacks of documentation of what the Nazi Gestapo jackbooted scum-sucking thugs are doing in this country. And I'm sick of it. They gassed my 4-year-old daughter in a hotel room in Phoenix, Arizona because they don't like my politics. Good night, folks. And God bless you all.
Dragnet, their job, to enforce the law and preserve the safety of decent citizens. Decent citizens. Decent citizens.
What keeps your hair up? Let's see what keeps your pants up, Friday.
Ha 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 ha!